kingdom in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Let's welcome Pastor Aaron.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. You know, when I first met him, was up at the big church, and he was the financial pastor, all dressed up real nice. I mean, looking real proper, perfect holy. But once I started with him and he opened his mouth, brah, he talked more better pigeon than most of the local boys I know. I love it that he's here, and I love it that we get to work together again. Wonderful, wonderful man. We are blessed at this church, aren't we? We are very, very blessed. In fact, I know some of you guys are thinking, what am I doing on this side now? It's just over there. Because I told you a couple weeks ago that I would never do that. But I think because James do them, and Brother Walt do them, and Pastor Scott do them all the time. As soon as I said that, somebody spoke to me and wasn't human. And I was like, okay, Lord, I hear you. And I don't know, he was challenging me to do this. So, you know, Aaron is always looking for a challenge. Yeah? So here I am today. And then I know, as soon as we get home, I told my wife already, don't bother me because I'm going to be wiped out. I'm halfway there already. I'm just out of shape in this. But we are really, really blessed at this church. I love getting to be here. You know, I only, as an assistant pastor, I only have to speak like 3 times a year. In fact, if I pass them off to everybody, I only got to do them once a year. But for a church of our size, we have 7. Let me take that back. We have 8. Very good, very capable, very talented speakers who Pastor Scott can trust. And, you know, I believe that's a testament to the person that, the leader that Pastor Scott is, that he always draws unto himself people who look at what he does, sees his work ethic, sees his heart as a pastor, and says, I want to be a part of that. And I believe with all my heart that's why God has blessed us, is because we're blessed to have a wonderful, wonderful leader. Now, with that said, of course, with 8 different speakers, as you can imagine, there are some downfalls. Most everything is really, really good, like I was saying. But there is at least one downfall. And it is that by the time we get to August, no more nothing to talk to you guys about. A couple months ago when I started to sit down and think about this message, I thought, you know, I'll do my forte. It's faith, hope, and love. Following week, Pastor Steve did that one. And I thought, fine, okay, I'm going to talk about the things I enjoy doing now. I get to operate at my job. I get to operate heavy equipment. Lots of analogies in that. I'll talk about that. And then I look on the speaking list, and I see that Brother Walt going to do construction zone. And I'm thinking, oh man, they're taking all the good ones already. Well, nothing for me to talk about. And I'm complaining to God about this, and he tells me, I can hear him laughing. And then I feel this question upon my heart. He says, are you not the worship leader? And then I told him, you know what, I got a great idea. Why don't I talk about worship? So this morning, we're going to talk about worship, okay? And I want you to fully understand what worship is, because the dynamics of worship in the church setting can take a plethora of different ideas. Different people will have different ideas about it. But what worship really is very, very simple. And I want to make sure that we don't complicate it. You see, worship can be described simply as this. Or this. Because all worship really is me saying, God, you there, and I'm here. That's what worship is. Now, we can worship anything, but when we worship God and we say we put you above everything that we are, that's called worship. Got it? So more specifically this morning, we're going to talk about worship, but more specifically, let's talk about an aspect of worship that I'm not very good at. Okay? Let's talk about the instruments of worship. By the way, I have to say this. Well, first of all, let me say that in my lifetime, whatever I put my hand to, I'm usually I get really, really good at it because I go all out in it and I try. Except for two things in my life, golf and musical instruments. Those are the two things I really, really tried to do but never got good at. You ask Carlin how much money I spent on buying musical instruments, buying all the programs that go with it and trying to learn, only 3 days later to give the instrument to somebody else. It's something that I'm not good at. Thank God I have a wonderful, wonderful praise band. Woo! Yeah, these guys are good. In fact, do you guys know how many mistakes I just made up there today? I made at least 5. I stopped counting after that. But you guys don't know. You know why? Because they're good. And the minute they feel me going off course, they do something either to join me there or to bring it back onto course. So you guys don't know, but they are really that good. I'm blessed to have this team with me. Psalm 150 talks about some of the instruments used in worship in the days of the kings of Israel. And I'll start in verse 1, where it says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with the blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and the harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praise to the Lord. Praise the Lord." I love that verse. And you see, basically, the psalmist has listed every instrument that they had at their disposal at that time. And he's saying, you know what he's saying? He's saying, whatever you have, use it to praise God. Today, we would say, praise God with the guitars and the ukuleles and the keyboards and the drums. We have every kind of instrument. You name it, we have it. But of all these, let me ask you this. Which one is the most important? Which one is the most important? Sometime back, somebody saw the title of this message and they asked me, what is that? What is the main instrument? And he said, gotta be the harp, right? Because when you see angels in heaven, they're playing the harp. So gotta be the harp. And I laughed and I said, that's just, that's cartoon, isn't it? Cartoon worship there. You got to be here if you want to hear, know what it is. So he's watching online today. Well, I learned about this instrument many, many years ago, about half a lifetime ago, actually, when I was the worship leader in the original New Hope Keau. We met right across the street in the office buildings over there. And it was a very special Sunday service because one of our Foursquare dignitaries was coming from Washington. His name was John Youngquist. He was our district administrator. And he was coming down to charter our church at that time, coming to make us a full Foursquare member. And above that, the following week, I was actually, he would be administering my pastor's license in Honolulu. So I wanted to make the very best impression on him that I could. So we planned this knockout service, all the bells and whistles that we could muster, equipped with the best worship we could dream of. Of course, we were only a church of about 50 at that time, so our worship team consisted of 4 singers, 1 guitar, 1 bass, and an electric drum machine. But, you know, we practiced really hard for that service. And I gotta say, at the end of our practices, we were very good. I would say we were actually like 10 notches better than we were any time other. So we were singing that day. We were singing 5 songs, and we started off that first song with a bang. Anybody would have been impressed. But halfway through that first song, because of faulty wiring, the drum machine died out. And I remember thinking, no. Not today. This is not happening today. And I thought, okay, we can do this without the drum machine. But it only got worse from there, because right at the beginning of the next song, a string on the guitar broke. And I looked over my shoulder at my guitar player that day, and I just saw fear on his face, because two strums later, string number 2 and number 3 broke. And then I remember I could see him in my peripheral, and just like the life went out of him. And as he set his guitar down, because three strings, one string only, no use playing the guitar. And then, you know, I felt like I was defeated already. We were doing worship only with a bass. And the administrator in me spoke out, and he said, cut your losses. End it right now. But immediately, I believe the Holy Spirit spoke up and said, don't you dare. Don't you dare. You keep going. You finish this thing. So that's what I did, sang all the louder. And my singers caught on to that. They started singing too. And my guitar player, who put his guitar down, he didn't walk off stage. He started singing along with us. And we did 4 songs that day, only with a bass. Fifth song, we didn't do it with a bass, because the bass player put his guitar down. Hands went up in the air, and he started praising too. And I gotta say, that was the best worship way I've ever been in. That was the best. Went to Honolulu the following week, and John Youngquist started addressing the class, and he mentioned, I love coming to Hawaii, mainly because the worship here is incredible. You people in music do something really, really wonderful. And then he said, but I learned something this past week, sitting down in this little church, that you can do worship with a bass guitar only and still glorify God. I learned that day what the main instrument of worship really was. Wasn't the guitar, wasn't the bass, wasn't the drums, wasn't even my voice, wasn't anything of a physical nature. It's something that is contained in the very core of my being. The most important instrument of worship will always be my heart. That, folks, is what God desires when we bring him worship. Yeah, he tells us to use the physical instruments that we have at our disposal. Use everything that we have to bring him glory. But never forget that those things, including our voices, are only enhancers to worship. Without the heart, all we've got is noise. Maybe some very nice noise. Nonetheless, without the heart, it brings God no glory. In Luke 6:45, it says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. You see, our intention in everything that we do and everything we say, and when we meet together on a Sunday morning to corporately worship like this, our intention is always to glorify the God who is worthy. That's why it's so important to, and you're going to hear the leaders in church say this often, always guard your heart. Guard your heart with a vengeance, because the most important instrument of worship is my heart. In John, 1 John 4:16 tells us that God is love. And the heart is that part in us that has the ability to love. That's why we see the symbol of a heart on Valentine's Day. Oh, whenever someone is trying to communicate love, because the heart is where love stems from. Now, I want you to understand, it's not the physical heart that we're talking about here. It's a spiritual heart, that breath of life that God put into us. It is the most vital component of our being, that which makes us human, which is also why it's the most important instrument of worship. So again, I'll say, guard your heart well, Because once you lose your heart, not only does worship go awry, but you cease to be human. And this world will throw everything it can at you to try to take it away from you. You know why? To try to hinder you from worshiping God. And that's it. You don't believe that to be true, then think about how many times you come into church on Sunday and said, I just don't feel like worshiping today. Maybe you even felt it so heavy that you didn't come at all. How many times have you felt like that? And you're thinking, how can I worship when I had those bad thoughts about my boss after he yelled at me this week? Or how can I worship after that fight I just had with my wife and all the hurtful things I said? Or how can I worship when my kids were so hyper in the car and I was just ready to pull over and kill them? I just don't feel like worshiping today. So if I worship, that makes me a hypocrite. You ever thought that? You ever heard that? Did God say that? No, he didn't. You know who said that? The enemy. The world infiltrated your heart and told you that. And lied to you in that way to stop you from worshiping God. Listen to this. I'm not a hypocrite if I worship God, even when I don't feel like it. You know why? Because despite how I feel, despite the circumstances surrounding me, God is still worthy of all the glory that I can give him, and then some. On the contrary, knowing that God is worthy, if I don't worship him, whether I'm up or down, whether I feel like it or not, if I don't worship him, that makes me a hypocrite. Folks, I deal with that just like you. And there are many times after a long week of work that I don't feel like being here, let alone worshiping. You know how I come against that? I lead my heart to worship. I don't give myself a choice. God is worthy, period. And I choose to worship with all my heart. Why? Because when I worship with all my heart, I worship, number one, regardless of how I feel. I worship regardless of how I feel. You see, worship will never be about feeling. With that said, true worship does feel good, yeah? It does. And there's a good reason for that. It's because when we worship with all of our hearts, when we lavish God with our love and adoration, he shows up. That's why it feels good. But the feeling is a byproduct of the action, not the other way around. And we have to remove ourselves from the mindset that if we're not feeling it, then we shouldn't worship. Jesus commanded somebody like this. He said, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So the first and greatest commandment, the thing that we were utmost, like I said earlier, utmost created to do. And take notice that there's an order to it. First heart, second soul, third mind. You know why he said it like this? Because just like how it goes with the physical heart, it goes with the rest, our spiritual heart. Everything follows. If you worship God with all your heart, everything follows. I always remember my dad telling me this. He said, Aaron, give your heart to God. Give your heart to God. Because if he's got your heart, then he's got all of you. It's inevitable. Once you begin to worship with your heart, it bleeds into your feelings and emotions. From there, it goes through your thought life. And then it infiltrates your hands and your feet. And you begin to be a living sacrifice. Worship no longer becomes a Sunday event. It becomes a lifestyle. It's not dependent on where you are or who's present. Let me take that back. It is dependent on who's present, but only one. The presence of one. The one who is ever present, But it doesn't stop when the church service ends. Let me quote a line from the Casting Crown song. Start right here. Which says, what if the church on Sunday was still the church on Monday too? You see, when I worship with my heart, I worship despite my surroundings. I worship despite my surroundings. Because too often, what we call worship can become something that happens in our lives only on Sunday. Only when the music is playing. Or how about this one? Only when the Christians are watching. It's not called worship. That's called performance. And Jesus warned us gravely about doing this. He said, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. Listen, the heart does not perform. The heart connects. And real heart worship connects me to the person of the Almighty God. It isn't something for all the world to see and to gawk at. It's a one-on-one experience between me and my God, despite my surroundings. And it happens here on Sunday. It happens when I'm kind and patient with my coworkers, when they do bonehead stuff, and they do plenty bonehead stuff. It happens at KTA, when I'm full of grace for that single mother that I'm behind, whose card keeps getting rejected. It happens when I'm loving my family at home. It happens anywhere I go. You know where one of the hardest places for me to worship with all my heart is? And I gotta pass through this place every day. It's the four-way stop on Kawailani. Where people just don't know when to go. But I've learned when I smile at them and when I choose to love them, despite their shortcomings. And then every once in a while when my wife yells at me because I daydreaming over there. When I do that, that becomes worship unto God. And I can worship despite my surroundings. When I do that, God is glorified. And you can write that down into number three, that when I worship with all my heart, I worship in a manner that gives God glory. I worship in a manner that gives God glory. It's like I mentioned before, worshiping with the heart overflows into the soul and then to the mind, and from there it gets out into the hands and the feet. And you know how it comes out? It looks like loving and serving people. That's inevitable. Matthew 5:16, Jesus tells us, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You know what Jesus is talking about here? He's talking about loving and serving others the way he did, the way he does, the way that brings the Heavenly Father joy. And you know what that's called? That's called worship. We end this message with a story. A story that took place back in the very late 90s, right before 2000. Actually comes out of England. A mega church in England. And they were known, world renowned, for their worship. They had the best musicians. They had incredible songwriters. And they had this worship leader who was unbelievable. His name was Matt Redman. They put out the songs that made the top 10 in the Christian world for years. One day, their pastor was watching everything going on, and he pulled the leaders together and he said, "We're going to stop doing what we call worship. We're going to stop this singing because this has become a performance. And in its place, every Sunday morning, what we're going to do is we're just going to sit around and we're going to look at each other until we figure this thing out." Now, I don't know about you, but many worship leaders would have got offended by that. But not Matt Redman. Matt Redman said, he caught on to the pastor's heart. And he came into agreement. And he went and sat down in a quiet place without any instruments, just with a pen and a paper. And he opened himself up to the Holy Spirit. And this is what he came up with.
Music fades, and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart.
Sing it with us here.
I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. Coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. Heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made. And it's all about you. It's all about you,
gets me. Always gets me, because it's in that song that I remember what worship is all about. And we bring the heart back to saying, God, you, number one, and this is me. That's worship. It's not a performance. It's not pending on where I'm at or how I feel. It gives God glory. It's so easy. So easy, and you see it in this world, for us to forget that and let our heart go awry and start to worship other things. It's very, very easy to do that. Just got to look on TV, you can see that. Just got to drive on the road and see that. We need to remember what it's all about. Because if we don't show the world that, they'll never know. That's why guard your heart. And that's why the bottom line is, I don't follow my heart into worship. I need to lead my heart into worship. Amen. We're going to continue in worship this morning. Everybody got their communion cups? And I believe with all my heart, and I always have, that one of the greatest ways to honor and to worship somebody is to remember them. Whether it's a memorial, of somebody who passed, or a memorial of somebody who did something great for you, giving them honor by remembering them. How much more so when we choose to remember our God? That's called worship. When we choose to remember what Jesus Christ chose to do for us, chose to love us in such a way because he did not want to spend eternity without us. So what did he do? First of all, he came and lived in this miserable world, just like us. Lived perfect, but unlike us, he lived perfectly. And then at the end of that 33 years, he gave himself up and suffered greatly in body. And at the end of the suffering, he laid down, he let them take all his blood to wash us clean of our sins, so that in the end, we could see his face forever. That's what communion is all about. That's why we do this corporately. And folks, this is worship when we remember this. Amen? So that Jesus took the bread and he broke it and gave it to his disciples. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Go ahead and eat in remembrance of him. And then he took the cup and he said, this is the ransom, my blood, the ransom paid out for your sins, the sake of the cup. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we remember you this morning. Remember your sacrifice. We remember your heart. Remember our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are grateful, Lord. We thank you. We give you all of the worship that we can muster because you are worthy. And as we remember, Lord, this is what we want most of all. That you would be glorified in all that we do and all that we say and all that we are. And in every way, in every breath, that we would worship you in spirit, in truth, with all of our hearts. We thank you, Lord. You're a good God. You're an awesome Father, and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen?
Amen.
Let's give him a clap offering this morning.
And would you stand with us? Now I'm back on this side. I hope you understand that God is so good. God is so good. He doesn't have to love us. He chooses to. So let's choose to love him right back and give him all worship. Amen?
Amen.
Let's lift his name on high.